morning, everyone. My name is Sotirios Arkontoulis, and on behalf of a big list of co-authors, I'm going to present you a project that we run in Iowa, where basically we are trying to forecast during the season and at the end of the season to evaluate the cropping systems. And we are using a variety of measurements and models, and we have created a website. Here you can see the link. If I match the mouse to go there, here we are, where you can go in the website and see a portion of all this information. Now, in this 10 minutes presentation, I will give you an overview of this project. There are two big components in this project, the FACS project. So we have the forecast tool and we have the assessment tool. And why we have two different tools is because farmers have so many questions, and it's impossible one single tool to answer all of them. So we split it into two main categories. So during the growing season, main question is about soil water level, soil nitrogen level, and we provide some information. I will describe later on more in detail what sort of information, just some screenshots. And we also provide information about the yield. Always, yield is of interest. Everyone wants to know what's going to be the yield at the end. And crop staging, is it flowering or when is going to be grain filling? So we provide this type of information together with some information about heat stress and frost conditions. And this is during the growing season. And at the end of the growing season, the idea, we haven't done this yet, but this is our next step, is to perform what-if scenario analysis and somehow to not optimize, but to find the best combination of practices to increase the profits and decrease the environmental pollution. And we split this one into two type analysis. The first one is for this particular growing season to learn what happened. And another type of analysis where we are going to use a series of weather data, 35 weather data, to inform future decisions, basically for the next year. In 2015, we ran a proof of concept of this FACS project, and it was quite successful, but it was not publicly available. And in 2016, we repeated the same project, but it was open access and everyone can see the information. Now, one important thing is why we did all this work. And the main reason is that we want to move from qualitative assessments of crop growth to something more quantitative with numbers. I will tell you an example. If you go to the field sometime in June or July and ask someone, how does corn look like? Corn looks good. Someone else will say, no, corn looks great. We need to move away from these words and put some numbers. It's 10% above, it's 5% above, it's 25% above. So this is one main reason. And second reason is that we want to improve the science behind some simulation models. The majority of models, crop growth models that are available, were developed back in 70s, 80s, and there's not much work done since then to improve and test some algorithms. They might be valid, might be not, we don't know. So basically, this presentation, first part I will describe the FACS project, and the second part I'm going to report the accuracy of predictions. So let's start here, and in this map, you can see experimental sites. We combined models and lots of ground truth measurements. This is one of the big innovations of this project. So basically, we have here six experimental locations. You see in the map two different colors. The red one are fields without subsurface tile drainage, and the blue ones are fields where we have subsurface tile drainage and we collect nitrate leaching every 3 days, water flow out of the tiles every 3 days, so we can have a good estimate of the water balance and the nitrogen balance. Now, besides these measurements, we are collecting, we have sensors in every field. We're measuring soil water at different depths, soil temperature, groundwater table, nitrate, ammonium, N2O emissions in some fields. And going to the left column, the crop, We are measuring everything possible using destructive methods. We don't use remote sensing techniques. We want good data to calibrate the model. What was the most important measurement that we did in 2016 was related to the roots. Roots growth, how fast, what's the maximum depth, is very important for any model, and we don't have data, and if we really want to go to the next step, to the calibration, we need to get done with the number one uncertainty. So we went in the field and we measured some root data. Some pictures. Here you can see students collecting data from the field. Basically, here you see the crop data. Here we're getting nitrates, and we download the soil moisture from the sensors. Sometimes sampling in the field was not that easy because we hit the water table. So we had to stay with what we had there. We took deep root measurements during the season using hydraulic probe. And during the season, until we go to the maximum depth, we track the root manually. And the processing of the plants. Sometimes there was no space here to go around. And we had lots of meetings to coordinate the team. And the best way to coordinate a big team was to offer barbecue meetings. Everyone is there and we have a good discussion. And we had some outreach with this project. Now, I described the experimental part. Let's put all the pieces together now, how this works. We have the measurements, high-resolution measurements. All this information goes into a cropping system model, and in this case, it's the APSI model. And, of course, APSI to operate needs weather information, and in this case, we are using two weather models, the CSF, which is a long-term prediction model from NOAA, and NDFD, which is a very short-term, 3-4 days prediction from NOAA, and then present data and historical data, we make synthetic files, and this is what it drives APSI. A portion of the information goes to the website, and some other portion is used to calibrate, not to calibrate, to check model performance. A little bit about modeling here and the APSI. On the right, you can see an overall assessment with data that we have so far. And on the left, you can see how the APSI model looks like. Actually, I have split it here in some boxes: soil organic carbon, soil nitrogen, soil water, and the crop. Of course, we can change different crops. And you can see the boundaries of the system and what it drives the system. Now, what you see here is a bunch of asterisks and wondering what is all this stuff here. So each asterisk star here refers to a particular study that we are running to check a particular process. For example, we have specific experiments here to measure nitrification rates. This is here. And right now with Mike, I see he's sitting back there, we started another decomposition experiment to measure root decomposition and how does this affect the water balance, soil evaporation, and everything. We are doing a lot of testing. And also, we include long-term data into the model to check some processes like mineralization and immobilization because it's impossible to get a sense of what is going on with 1 or 2 years of data. There, we need at least 15 years of data. And here you see a little bit testing that we did, continuous corn in Iowa, the yields in the y-axis, and the time is in the x-axis, and you see points and lines are measurements and simulations. And below that, we have the soil organic carbon for the top 15 centimeters. And that was a good indication to see how well mineralization is simulated by the model. Now, going into the forecast during the season and setting up the model. When we set up the model, there are many different ways of doing. And first thing is we need to know well our environment. And we are located in Ames, Iowa. I have highlighted the area here. And you will notice there is a lot of tight drainage in this area. This reflects the high water table levels in the Midwest. So the way that we wanted to approach this challenge is by using a soil water model with the research equations, and we activated water table dynamics and tile drainage. So we are modeling all of that. And we are using 7.8 version, but this version is not publicly available. It's a test version that we are running. What we implemented in this version is the root growth groundwater table interaction. And we got some data from the field. For example, let me explain a little bit more this one. So here you see green points. These are the root depth measurements. And you see the red line. This is what it comes from the model. I lost the mouse. Here it is. And you see purple line and the blue point. So the purple line are measurements of groundwater from a field 2 miles from our field. And the blue line is the simulated water table by the model. What is important for me is the dynamics and to capture the trends, not the actual values, because they are not the same fields here. And you see that the root depth never exceeds the water table. And if for some reason the water table rises up, then we constrain the water uptake. There is no more water uptake by the root zone. Now, we go to the website. This is how the website it looks like and the information that we provide. It's very user-friendly. So the user can select a crop, then can select a location, management, can click here and get lots of information, and then can visualize soil water and soil nitrate. And you see the blue points here are the measurements, what comes out from the sensors, and the red line is what it comes from the model, and the same for the soil nitrate, and can play with different soil layers. It's a very interactive web tool. Of course, behind the scenes, behind the website, we do lots of testing and we have additional measurements. And this is a nice data set that I really like because it has nitrate data for different soil profiles, 0 to 10 centimeters, 10 to 20, 20 to 30, 30 to 40, 40 to 60, and 60 to 80. This is from a soybean field. We didn't apply nitrogen fertilizer, and this is a good sense to get what we get from the soil organic matter. That's beautiful to test the soil and how the model and how it works. Now, I will move from the soil and I will go a little bit to the crop modeling and what we do with the maize model and the soybean model. Here you see simulations versus predictions of biomass and leaf area index for the northeast site in Iowa. This information is not in the web. We keep this behind the scenes. And we simulate grain accumulation over time and the grain components. Here you can see the grain number and the grain size, how it goes the model. This is one of the best data sets. That's why I show it here. We have some others that need some work to be done, and this is later on. Now, I will focus for the rest of my presentation only about the last yield here. The last point, you see here the last point, it comes from the combine. All the previous points comes from hand measurements. And now we are going to see how well was the model. Before that, during the growing season, we provided lots of yield predictions every week, starting at planting. That was our first forecast. And sometime the first week of September was the last one. We run the model one more time, of course, nothing is going to change because the crop reaches physiological maturity. And here we have in the website the measured and the standard deviation. Before we compare measurements and simulation, let me tell you what happened in 2016 in Iowa. The corn yield levels was between 200 and 240 bushels. Soybean was between 55 and 75. And in terms of weather, I would say it was very extreme year. And I don't think it will be a good year for crop growth modeling. It was dry and hot during May and June. Very dry. No rainfall in some sites. And during July and August was very wet and cool temperatures. So during June is the period where we have the root growth. We have a lot of dry matter allocation to the roots. And the crops were looking not good above ground. At the end, when we harvest the crop and we got the data, The harvest index for 2016 was 0.57, was quite high, about 10% above 2015. Now, let's see measurements and simulations. Here we put all the numbers together. The top panel is about corn, and the second one is about soybean. Always the bar is the measured by the machine, and the triangle, the red one, is from the model. 1 minute. Okay. For all the crop sites, cropping system, for all the fields, sorry. So let me summarize here what we saw. In this figure, I have the relative error. And what is important to see here is that in most of the cases, the model was plus 10% and minus 10%. That was the yield prediction error of the last forecast. And if we summarize for all the fields, make the average, it was underestimation until 5%. The important question is, okay, you were September, of course you have good predictions, but how early you can make all these predictions? So, oops. Oh, I was discussing the wrong slide. Anyway, the last forecast was pretty close to zero, the error. Where's the mouse? It's here. What we did to answer the question how far during the season is that the first simulation, the median simulation at emergence, was a pretty good predictor of the final yield. This is what we learned from this year. And a little bit of analytics, the impact of the project that we did. Here you can see the number of visits and unique visitors. And next step in our project is to develop the assessment tool. And we are talking about including a few more sites. And we need to do some model and web improvements and to run some farmer surveys to understand what they really want and how they want to get the information. It's something that we don't know well, what they really want. And with that, I will close, and I would like to thank a lot, number of sponsors, including Department of Agronomy, Extension, Iowa State University, Soybean Research Center, Plant Science Institute, USDA, Climate Corp, DuPont Pioneer, web developers, an army of undergraduate students who did a lot of measurements, Upstream community for helping, farm managers, and field agronomists. That's all I had.